If you are a child 6 to 12, you are now invited to head down with Teresa. Thank you for doing that. See that? You're welcome to stay with your family if you would like, but you can also head down. So we're in the midst of a sermon series on leadership, trying to talk about leadership. And as Christians, I don't care what place you occupy in the world, you're sort of called to be a leader. Greg mentioned in his sermon, you know, if you're a neighbor, you're a leader. What does it look like to be a good neighbor and to lead by example? If you're a parent, if you have friends, if you have co-workers and colleagues, some of you are in direct leadership positions, right? You're managers and other things. But sometimes it's just about being the grandparent in a family. And you lead by the way you love, and by the advice you give, and by the joy you share, right? So we're all sort of called to take on leadership in one form or another. And we felt like, Greg and I, as we talked, you know, the world is lacking in leadership. There's like a void. And I want Christians to begin to fill that in some way. So last week we talked a little bit about mentoring, how Jesus mentors Peter. We read, in fact, that very passage where Peter falls asleep and the other disciples, right, and Jesus continues to stick with them. We're going to look at that from a slightly different angle today. Mentoring, in some ways, is about empowering, and that's what I want to focus on, that leaders empower others. They use the power that they have to help empower, to give autonomy, right, freedom, respect, and dignity to others. And that's a tough thing, especially if you're Jesus, right? So your message is pretty important, right? The things that you have come to say, and you're now going to start a movement, and you know you're not going to be around for long, right? He has a sense that he's going to die. People have wanted to kill him almost from his very first sermon. So much like Martin Luther King Jr., which we celebrate this weekend, right? He has a sense of his impending death. But, of course, that's not going to deter him from the message, but he's going to have to trust this group of knuckleheads, right? I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. Like, at the very end, it's like his last day, they're falling asleep, they can't get it right. Peter's denying him, most of them are afraid. Can you imagine, right? Like, this is who I'm handing this off to. But, like a good leader, that's what he does. He sort of expects more of them. So in Luke, yeah, I should do this first. The definition of leadership I'm working with comes from Brené Brown. Leadership is not about title, status, or wielding power. A leader is anyone who takes responsibility for recognizing the potential in people and ideas and has the courage to develop that potential. Mentoring is about recognizing the potential in other people. Today we want to talk about, and then how do we empower them, right, to make us replaceable. Every leader should be replaceable. If I leave, I hope by the time that comes, sometime down the road, don't worry, no time soon, I hope, right? So at some point, this doesn't fall apart. That this church, right? If it does, then I've failed as a leader. Leaders should make it such that they're replaceable. When Jesus is gone, the church doesn't die. But in part, it's like Luke chapter 9. We read this, right? Amy read it. Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over the demons and to heal sicknesses. He sent them out to proclaim God's kingdom and to heal the sick. They departed and went through the villages proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So while Jesus is still alive, he's like, now it's your turn. You go do it. So that's great. So I got a bunch of people that want to kill Jesus. I'm a disciple right now. You want me to go to these towns and do it? You've seen what screw-ups we are, Jesus. Like, what are you doing, right? Well, you're not going to learn unless you do it, unless you try. So there's like a kick in their fannies. Right? Like, you're gonna do it, and we're going to see what happens. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to fail. And this is what good leaders do. They empower others to make mistakes. They empower us to get the experience they need. And this is not what Joe Bankard is like. I like to work alone. I like to get things done on by myself. I don't want to empower others because empowering others is a lot. It's like I'm losing power. I'm making myself somewhat vulnerable. I'm losing control. But this is what Jesus does. He sort of sends them out. What's great about Luke chapter 9, same chapter, they go out and do these things, then they come back. Like the next day, Jesus is trying to be alone, but the crowds find out where he is. So they come to him. So he's like, fine. So he preaches, right? You can almost feel, I assume Jesus is like me, and sometimes it's like, oh, all right, here we go, right? So he does his thing, and but it's time to eat. Everyone's hungry. There's like 4,000 people, right? This is like the famous story of the feeding, right? So the disciples come to Jesus. Like, people are grumbling. They're hungry. You talk and talk and talk forever. We're all hungry now. What are you going to do? And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. That's the line in Luke 9. You do it. He not only sends them out, but then when there's like this unsolvable problem, it appears, 4,000 people, we don't have the resources, you figure it out. You do it. Right? And there's something really inspiring about that. Like, I believe in you. I trust you. It's okay to mess up. And the disciples do maybe one of the best things they could possibly do, which is they go around and get as much food as they can, which isn't much. A couple fish, some loaves. But then they bring it back to Jesus and they lay it at Jesus' feet. And they say, this is what we were able to do. Can you help? Right? Can you help us? And there's something about that story, and this is a side note, sidebar, that's very powerful, and that is I feel in my life often a sense of powerlessness and hopelessness about changing things, the world getting better, even my situation at times in various locations. Like it just seems like I'm defeated. And I think that the story of the 4,000 is not only Jesus forcing the disciples to do it, right? Really empowering them. But when they come back, when we give what little we have to Jesus, when we give whatever little we have, right? Whatever little bit of faithfulness you can hand over, your time, your service, your gifts, I think God's faithful to multiply that. And this is what happens in the feeding, that Jesus multiplies what they've gathered and it becomes enough. But am I faithful just to give what little I have over, right? But in some sense, Jesus throughout Luke 9 is forcing the disciples to learn on the fly and to make mistakes and to empower them and to say, that's okay. And by the time Jesus is gone and the book of Acts rolls around and the early church starts, they do a pretty decent job of keeping this whole movement going. Like, they're ready because they've been given leadership opportunities. So when I think about this in my own life, I think about parenting mostly, but I want to give several examples. So I want to empower my kids, but I don't really want to empower my kids, if you know what I mean. So like the other night, Kel is busy doing laundry on the weekends, right? So it's just like a treadmill of just, you know, washer, dryer, folding, whatever. So she's doing her thing, and so she, like the kids have this area downstairs, that's where their rooms are. So she folds it, and there's like this middle area where she puts it. There's like a coffee table, and we have like a couch. So she folds it and puts it on the furniture, and then eventually says, all right, Sullivan, can you go down and get your clothes off the coffee table and put them away? So Sullivan goes down. There's clothes on the coffee table. There's clothes on the couch. There's clothes on the ottoman, right? But he takes her words literally and just gets the clothes off the coffee table like a blind robot and puts them away. So we come down and it's like, I'm sorry, put all of your clothes away that are folded and sitting right here, right? It's like, if I don't say the ones on the couch, can you not just do that, right? I mean, is flushing the toilet really so hard? Like sometimes I'll just like, why? But stopping and trying to show them how to do it. Like this, when I say get your laundry, this is what I mean, so, right? Nope, I'll just do it. So I just put their clothes away. I just put them away. Because I'm going to put them away in the right spot, as they should be, and it'll be done, and I won't have to see this anymore. This is all done. And that does them no favors. This does them no favors. And trust me, I have college students who I'm pretty sure their parents did that all the way along, and it has done them no favors. We don't want to take the time to empower. We don't really want to lead. We don't want to teach or train. We don't want them to make mistakes because it's messy. It's time consuming. I lose control. It takes forever to get done. It doesn't get done right, at least not the way I would do it. So I'll do it myself. Maybe that doesn't sound like any of you. That's me. So Jesus shows this different way of leadership that says, yes, up front, it's way more work to train, empower, embolden. But then you become replaceable. Other people actually can lead like you, and when you're gone, it doesn't fall apart. It's beautiful. So you think about this in work settings. I have a TA, and it's like the work to train to do... No. I'll hand you quizzes. I'll give you a quick tutorial on how to do it. Take that off my plate. I don't want to see it anymore, and I'll do my own thing, right? But that's not leadership. That's like, I just want you to take a few things off my plate, but I don't really want to train you in actually how to do higher level things at an academic setting. But if I did do that, if I took that time, not only would his life be enriched, but long term my life would be enriched. But there's something about efficiency, losing control, because I like to control things, losing power, letting people make mistakes, letting people do it worse than you would. Scrambled eggs for my wife. I can't cook them for her. She won't eat them. But then she's forced to do it all, right? Maybe I could help. I don't know. Maybe you could show me how to do it. I don't know. That's actually true. I'm not going to get it the first time. I need some training. I need some TLC, man. You know, you got to... I want you like behind me, like moving this, like you got to do it like this. You know what I mean? Like we could flirt, we could scramble some eggs together. It'd be awesome.
You want a scene out of
Ghost? That's exactly right. But the fact is, her life is harder because I don't cook eggs well enough, and she is a little picky, and she wants it a particular way. But this is how our lives often function. So I think there's probably places where you should give power away, where you should take the time to edify someone, to train someone, to teach someone, to model for someone, such that they are uplifted. They're capable now in ways they weren't before. It means failure. It means a lot of bad scrambled eggs. It means, right? It means that Sullivan's not going to get all of his clothes put away right where they're supposed to. And that's okay. But at some point, I want him to do this himself. The second thing I want to say about the passage is leadership is about empowering, but what goes hand in hand with that is that being a leader means you have to make yourself vulnerable. You have to lose control. You have to lose some power. You have to give that stuff away. You have to expose your heart. You have to let people make mistakes. You have to expose yourself to being hurt. You have to be willing to share with people your own failings, because in doing that, you're modeling for them what being like an honest, authentic, genuine human person is in the world. And Jesus does this beautifully. One of the things that I find fascinating about Jesus' ministry, this is actually the chapter before, Luke chapter 8. The 12 were with Jesus, the disciples, along with some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Herod's servant, which I think is interesting, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. Jesus' ministry was funded in part by women. Maybe a lot by women. But I want you to think about the ancient world. I want you to think about how women were looked at and treated often in the ancient world. And Jesus' ministry was funded by women. So he's willing to be vulnerable, made fun of, scoffed at. You're really so poor, Jesus, that you have to be funded by women? Yep. But that hands some power over to these women, who then can use their resources to make a difference in the world. And that's a beautiful thing. It means swallowing pride. How many of you have rejected help because you have so much pride? Oh, I don't need anything. I can take care of that. I can do it myself. Jesus doesn't do that. He takes it. When he goes to the Samaritan woman at the well, the first thing he does, he asks her to give him something. Will you give me something to drink? Will you help me? He shouldn't even be talking to her, let alone empowering her, let alone asking for help. In the passage in Matthew that we've read twice now, you can look at it from Peter's perspective as he falls asleep and is learning to get things right, you know, Jesus having patience. But I want you to hear Jesus' words here. Then he said to his disciples, I'm very sad. It's as if I'm dying. Please stay here and keep alert with me. Please stay with me. Can you hear him almost pleading? Please. Like, I'm sad to the point of death. Will you stay? Will you be with me? This is vulnerability. This is exposing yourself to someone who can fail you, stab you in the back, let you down. This is how you lead. This is how you empower. This is how you show the way. If you close off and you draw a barrier and leading means I'm up here and you're down here, then these will never learn how. But how many times have you said no to someone who wants to help you because of pride? Like, we just want to help. We want to be involved. We want to be a community. We want to support. And it means you have to have the courage and the strength to be vulnerable and say, yes, I could use some help. Yes, would you visit me? Yes, stay with me and pray. Yes, let's go to coffee. Yes, shovel my driveway when it snows. Yes, you have to have the courage to let people in. And Jesus does this over and over, whether it's women funding him or giving him something to drink or asking his disciples to stay. He's making himself vulnerable. A few quotes, Brené Brown, again, because of the book, and they're just moving in general. Vulnerability is not winning or losing. It's having the courage to show up and be seen when we have no control over the outcome. Vulnerability is not weakness. It's our greatest measure of courage. If you don't remember anything, that's worth it. Your level of vulnerability is how you measure your level of courage. How much you let people see you. Let in. So, what would it look like to empower, to train, to give away, to lose control? What would it be like to expose ourselves just a little bit more, to be vulnerable, to ask for help, or to say yes when someone offers? The more we do this, the more this community is going to learn to love each other. It's going to learn to flourish and shine. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for the example we see in the person of Jesus, someone who uses the power that he has to empower others, to equip and to serve. I'm so grateful that when God takes on flesh and bone, it's not to solve every problem, it's not to be completely independent, but when God takes on flesh and bone, it's as a vulnerable child, it's as a man strong enough to say, I am weak, a man strong enough to say, I need help and I need my friends. I pray that we might live into that example, that we might model it, and in the process that we might create and cultivate new leaders. Amen. If you would please stand for our closing song.